By downloading this Fifi, Dave, Bevan, Byron catch-up, you've upgraded the next 30 minutes of your life. At Melbourne Airport Parking, upgrade from the long-term car park to the at Terminal T4 car park for just $15 when you book online and park before 12 September. melbourneairport.com.au.
We're all parents in the studio here, and the truth is you try your best, you put your best foot forward, but from time to time over the course of your child's life, you're going to fail at some stage. And I think it's important to acknowledge that.
Sure.
Now, a father in England, he's at a great fail. So his daughter, Georgia, she's just graduated university. There she is. She's put her cap and her gown on, and she's going up on stage and he's videoing the event. What she's realised, though, when she's watched back the tape, is he's videoed the wrong girl.
I got carried away. I was looking at the wrong girl.
All right, how hot is that other girl?
I'm about to say, dirty dad.
Yeah.
Whoops.
I thought it was my daughter. Your daughter's a brunette. That's a blonde. You should be on a registry.
She understandable, though. He might have been up the back. I mean, they're caps and gowns.
Innocent mistake.
Yep. I mean, she wanted to keep...
Put the camera away, Chief.
Did anyone...
The only film was Miss Manchester.
This is the bikini section. This isn't even a graduation.
That's lost me.
Anyone in the studio, Fev, prepared to own up to a parent fail?
Oh, I've had a few. The one that comes, I played my 150th against Port Adelaide at the Telstra Dome. Well, now Eddie had. And as you do, you know, when you play a milestone game, you run out with your kids.
Yeah.
And Lenny was a baby, and Mia was... Geez, me would have been 7 or 8. Mm. And so you run through the banner and it's all about you. So I'm like, oh, it's about me. And I'm looking up at the big screen and it's got my name on the banner with 150. And with the banners, the old school banner, now they have like a little slit where you can run through. But back in the day with all the sticky tape, it was really tough to run through.
Yeah.
Oh, was so that heavy duty tissue
paper? The real tough one that everyone just bounced back on.
Who's using 3-ply? Oh,
so I ran through the banner. And I've got Mia holding Mia's hand, and I've got Lenny in, I think it was my right arm, and I've ran through the banner, and I went through, and Mia went through, and little Lenny the baby got clotheslined by a bit of tape.
Oh, no.
And there was a picture on the front of the Herald Sun.
Really?
Us through the banner, and poor Lenny's getting the choked up.
The coat hanger.
The coat hanger. So that was a massive parent fail.
How did you go to the tribunal? You got 3 weeks for
I've got a couple of weeks for a clothesline. The poor little Len dog.
131060 parent fails. Call in. Share your stories.
That'd be hard to beat, Fev.
Yeah, she didn't quite get through the banner, Lenny, but yeah.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Yeah, we're talking about this dad in the UK who's had a parent fail. He was supposed to video or film his daughter graduating, and he filmed the wrong girl. So I reckon that's right up there. That's a moment that she would have liked to have kept for posterity forever, to show her kids and her grandkids. This is me graduating uni.
I just love the dad. He's, I got the wrong girl. Bet you did.
How can that photo's your screensaver now on your phone?
Rebecca in Officer. Hey, Beck.
Hi, how's it going?
Yeah, good. Did you have a bit of a parent fail?
I did. Before I tell you what I did to him by accident, he's fine. But he was jumping up and down on the couch and I was telling him to stop and he was about to fall, so I went to grab him to stop his fall but accidentally pushed him instead and he whacked his head on the coffee table.
Beck. And you feel so bad after that.
I know. I felt like the world's worst parent. He's crying, I'm crying.
Poor little bugger.
All worked out okay. He wasn't badly hurt though.
Yeah.
That's good.
Speaking about working out all okay, I remember when I first was on this show, Boxer, you told me a good story about...
I wasn't going to talk about any parent fails I'd had.
Hmm.
Which one?
When Trixie might have thought she was an Energizer bunny.
Look, the time my 18-month-old daughter ate 3 batteries was not a time I wanted to relive and necessarily acknowledge in this segment.
Okay, we'll go to Melinda from Derek.
Melinda.
She was like a little Power Ranger. She was great. Jacked up.
Melinda, please save me. Have you ever fed your child batteries?
No, I haven't fed
you're a better mum than me, Melinda. So what did you do?
We actually took our son to soccer and forgot him after the game.
So Melinda, talk me through that. Because every parent does this at some stage. So you got in the car.
Yeah, we took separate cars and we were both going separate ways with our two other children. And I got a phone call from the team manager, and I thought I'd lost and left his jumper or something.
Well, you did. It was just on him.
My man said, "Oh my God, what have we left?" And he's like, "Your son."
Oh, wow.
That's brilliant. I mean, I guess having siblings kind of softens the blow a bit. If it was if he was an only child.
It was an empty car.
No, but that's why you have three. If you lose one.
Lisa in Eltham. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, how's it going?
Yeah, good, Lisa.
Okay, so before I start, this happened 7 years ago and he's completely fine. But when he was about 4 months old, I was trying to multitask and it was winter, so I had him wrapped up in a big blanket, so remember that part as well. And I've gone into the boot of the car to get the pram out, and I had him in my arms, so I thought I'd be able to just put him on the side with one hand over him and then take out the pram at the same time, but he fell out of the boot. But he was wrapped up in the blanket and he was completely fine. So,
please, I love your emphasis on how fine he is. He's fell out of a boot.
It was just a normal car and it was parked on the grass. So I should have said that too. But I was trying to get the pram out. And
no, I get it. Prams are big and they're bulky.
And then body just falls out of the boot like you're a mafia boss doing a hit.
My heart just stopped and he cried for 2 seconds, and then when I pulled the blanket away from his face, he started giggling at me, and I'm like, oh my god.
And let's be honest, it's so hard for some mums. When the partner's off to work and you go out for a coffee. You got the pram, you got the shopping, you got the bottle, you got the baby bag.
100%. You're texting with the other hand.
Usually you leave the coffee on the top of the roof, not the baby.
Oh, sure.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
As far as Australian tennis is concerned, it really is the era of the bad boy. From Kyrgios to Tomic. We all know that at Wimbledon only a few weeks ago he was fined $20,000 for his unsportsmanlike conduct. Well, last night he did have his one-on-one sit down with Melissa Doyle on Sunday night. And if you missed it, we're just going to play some of the highlights because it's interesting to get his perspective. He did admit that he only plays for money.
Only playing for the money.
Basically, yeah. You know, I think, I didn't come from a rich family. We had no money and, you know, I was 12 years old, 13 years old. Nobody knows this sort of life that I had. You know, we came to Australia with, you know, basically nothing.
And then there's been much discussion of late of his admission that he has no motivation. Well, he was as frank about that too.
It was that patch I was going through, and I did say, you know, Wimbledon was one of the biggest tournaments and respected tournaments in the world. But in my opinion, I said my honest opinion, and I wasn't motivated the last 4 or 5 months. I was just going through the motions, and it just happened to be, you know, at Wimbledon.
It's interesting, Fev, because he gets a lot of flack. And you're a sportsman, so getting your perspective on this is interesting because I just rate the honesty. I mean, I had a fight with my mum actually on the weekend because she was thinking, no, he taxpayers' money was invested into his tennis at the
Sounds
AIS.
Exactly what Alex was saying last night to me.
But see,
exactly,
but then the I, you know, we live in a world where we condemn honesty. He's just been, that's how he feels. So you can't really knock somebody saying, this is how I feel.
Yeah, it was actually interesting watching it last night, and I had a bit of Bernard Tomic about me, I suppose, when I played footy. You know, you get all this money. You've got to remember, he's only 24. But you get all this money and then you're playing a game. But I actually loved playing the game. So when I was playing, it was just all the training and stuff in between. And you do get ahead of yourself. And I think, you know, you look at blokes like Roger Federer. When he first started, he was getting code violations for smashing his racket. And he was very vocal. And then all of a sudden, he just turned into this amazing, calm, collected.
Media training.
Yeah, it was just amazing. But Bernard Tomic's come out and said, well, he hates tennis, let's be honest. But it was so sad to see when he was a little boy and how he was up and about and he was like, I want to win Grand Slams. I want to beat Roger Federer. Tennis is my, you know, it's just the most amazing thing. And then he gets all this money. And I think he turned around in the interview and said that he sometimes plays at 100%.
Yes.
Sometimes at 30%. So at 50%, look what I've done.
I know. Like, wow. He was very matter-of-fact about it. And then you just mentioned the comparison about when he was a kid to now. I think the biggest revelation was when he did admit he didn't even like tennis.
What would you say to a young Bernard Tomic?
Don't play tennis. do something you love and enjoy, because it's a grind and it's a tough life. And if you want the good life to come after that, financially wise, maybe do it. But if you don't love it, don't do it. And my position, I'm trapped. I have to do it. I like it. I'm going to continue to do it. But that 14-year-old kid has a choice always of what he wants to do. So that's the message, I think.
Well, see, what's interesting is that he's very good at something. Now, he's acknowledged that he doesn't necessarily like it. He didn't like it. He wouldn't have done it. If he was 14, he wouldn't do it again. I find it interesting when people are really good at something, but they don't act, they don't have the passion for it and don't really like it.
Yeah, it's a bit like me with acting when I did Navy. I don't really like it, but I did it. I was trapped. But
good at it, though, is the other part of it.
It's a burden.
I might be speaking out of school a little bit, but what I got out of this interview was, we've all got kids, and his dad pushed him into tennis. Mm. Pushed him and pushed him and pushed him and pushed him to the point where they were at a game and Tomic went up to the umpire and asked for the umpire to eject his dad from watching him play.
Yep, that happened.
Pushed him to the point where he's like, well, he's sort of rebelling against his dad, going, I don't want to do this. So with a 14-year-old kid, you just, or even with our kids, I've never really pushed them into sport. Now they're playing sport. Let your kids do what they want and they'll find their niche. They'll go, okay, I like that, I don't like that. But he was pushed and pushed and pushed. And everyone goes, he's a brat, he's arrogant. At the end of the day, it's no relevance to us if he plays tennis or not, because we don't really give a stuff. But when he's out, he's 24, so he's got a lot. You know, I didn't really, I don't think I've actually matured at all. But it took me a long time. I lost my footy career at 29 for being similar.
Mm.
And if I had myself again, I'd change a lot of things.
But love footy, though.
I love footy.
See, I think good at footy and you love it.
Yeah, but the problem with him is he doesn't own up to anything. Like, he had an answer for everything and everything was the wrong answer. Where sometimes, if I was him, I would be watching that, I'd be going, mate, yeah, I did that wrong. Okay, I'll own up to it. And Australians love that. If you own up to something, then people will forgive. But he doesn't own up to anything. He's always a...
Do you think, though, and I think we often look at spoilt brat actors or, you know, Justin Bieber, we go, oh, you want to take a year off or whatever, but sometimes you're just really good at something or it's a natural aptitude for something and you don't like it and everyone looks around you. Because I know I went to school with someone who was particularly smart and they went on to uni and they were doing law, economics, and they were smashing it, could do it in their sleep. And then
I just didn't like it.
And then... they just bailed, just let it all go and decided to be a musician. Now, you know, she plays in, you know, pubs and is just singing. And every now and then we go, you know, I even hear our social group go, gosh, imagine what she could have done. But guess what? She's happy.
Good on
her.
She's
just happy.
So yeah. She's like Matt Damon in Good Will Hunting.
Yeah.
All the skills there, Matt, is working. I get it, though. Like, I don't necessarily want to be a comedian. I just have a love for getting up at 4:30 in the morning. That's the only reason I'm really doing this.
13, 10, 60. Is this you? Can you relate to this? Are you really good at something, you actually just hate it?
Just another quick one on it. And everyone gets frustrated because he earns all this money and he plays tennis. And Pat Cash was in the interview and he said, well, don't play tennis. Go and work hard. Go be a labourer. Get up at 6 in the morning and work till 5. But the problem is, he doesn't have to, because he's actually half good at tennis. So he's going to make money out of it. Not that he enjoys it, but he just needs help. He needs someone like a mentor to grab him and say, mate, you can make something of this, or you can just be a waste.
He's stuck, isn't he?
He's stuck. Yeah, so he just needs that mentor.
Take a couple of years off. That's right.
Yeah, no, he could do that as well.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Bernard Tomic had his very candid, honest interview with Mel Doyle last night on Sunday night, where he admitted that he doesn't really have a flair he's got a flair, but he doesn't have a passion for tennis. And if he could tell his 14-year-old self, he probably wouldn't have done it.
What would you say to a young Bernard Tomic?
Don't play tennis. Do something you love and enjoy, because it's a grind and it's a tough life. And if you want the good life to come after that, financially wise, maybe do it. But if you don't love it, don't do it. And my position, I'm trapped. I have to do it. I like it. I'm going to continue to do it. But that 14-year-old kid has a choice always of what he wants to do. So that's the message, I think.
So basically, paraphrasing, he's doing it for the money. Doesn't actually really love it. Doesn't have that passion anymore. And this can happen. You can be really good at something and everyone keeps going, but why wouldn't you? Why aren't you? Look, you've got a mathematical mind. Go and do science and maths, but you hate it. And you end up forced into something and you wake up and you... midlife and you go, what did I just do for 20 years?
You wake up in the high, you're surrounded by cash like Tomek, just going, what happened? I got too many Lamborghinis. This is killing me.
Joe in Manda. Hi, Joe.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Joe. Now, Joe, this is your daughter. Is she very good at something?
Yeah, she's really good at calisthenics, which is basically just like dancing and gymnastics together.
Joe. Yeah, I did. Oh,
don't bring up the heartbreak of Boxy's career.
The rod and the batons, the twirling batons, I was particularly
good at. Yeah. So she did it, and she was so good at it. She got like a scholarship within the first 6 months.
Ooh.
You know, she was performing statewide, all the concerts and whatnot. And in the end, she was like, Mum, I just don't like this. I'm doing it for you.
Oh.
And I felt horrible.
Joe, did you, as a mum in that moment, what did you do? Because that's a tough, because you want to, she's so good at it, you sort of want to go keep going, darling. But did you just...
I know. I was so proud of her, and I think that's why she was doing it, because she's like, oh, Mum, but you're so proud of me. And I'm like, but I'll be proud of you no matter what you do. You don't have to do this if you don't like it.
So she's let it go?
She's let it go.
Pretty soon, I sound a bit disappointed.
Joe
by
sounds
that.
Broken, but it's her soon, choice, Joe.
Pretty similar story. Lulu loved gymnastics, and she'd always run around the house and doing like flips and cartwheels. Mm. So we put her into a Tuesday night gymnastics. So she went 3 or 4 times, loved it the first couple of times, but she's really good at it. And then all of a sudden, she didn't want to go back. And we couldn't find out why she didn't want to go back. And I reckon it's because she was good at it. And she's like, done that.
Too good.
Right. She just wanted to do it. Like, it's weird. Now she doesn't want to go back. Doesn't want to do it.
So my question is, Boxy, how did you go with the batons with your little hands? Like, did you struggle sometimes?
I was particularly good with the rod.
Okay.
It's a rod.
Jezza, put
it's
that in.
Like a pole. Like that. No, it's like a long, it's like a long metal pole.
Got it.
Caitlin from Burwood. Hi, Caitlin.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, good, Caitlin. Do you have aptitude in a particular area, but you don't love it?
Yeah, I'm a chef. Always been told that I've been good at it, but it's kind of one of those things I see all the time. People just fall out of love in the industry.
So you don't really like cooking or food?
I love food and I love cooking, but in a restaurant environment, it just doesn't quite, you know, doesn't quite live up to what it, you know, what it could be.
You hear about that in the chef's world. There's a lot of churn and burn with chefs. It's the lifestyle around it, I think, just drives a lot of them out.
Customers saying, where's my dinner? And it hasn't turned up yet. And
don't you think that'd be refreshing on MasterChef? You know, people always like, I cook with passion. Someone goes, I cook because I need the money.
Thanks, Caitlin. We'll take one more here.
Kat in Beaconsfield. Hi, Kat.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, good, Kat. Are you good at something but you don't have passion for it?
I was a top student at woodwork at school, but I absolutely hated it. I didn't even ask to get in the course. They just put me in it.
And really?
Particularly good at making. What was your finest woodwork piece?
We did like tables and chairs and stuff, and I always finished way ahead of the boys, but I didn't even know what the items were called. Like, I'd just pick something up and do what they said, and
brilliant at woodwork.
Hated it.
Yeah. So, Kate, the world has now... You've stopped them from getting like a rocking horse or a pencil holder.
I know.
Yep.
That's tough.
And just I know. Thanks, Kat.
Thank you, Kat. No,
and
that's a shame.
Just one more on the Tomek thing. And I think Dave said it out of the break. Just have a break, mate. Just have a little rest. And I know when I finished footy or when I got the arse, I didn't like footy. But I didn't realise what I had until I lost it. And I went down to Yarrawong. I think I couldn't get a job for 4 years. I did nothing. I had no money because I'd lost it all. And now that I've come back out of the jungle and got this job, like I really appreciate what I've got and I love coming to work and I love all the other things that I'm doing. Sometimes you have to lose everything to realise what you had.
Mm,
and that literally happened to me because I had nothing. Like I literally had lost everything and then now I so much more appreciate it. And I love footy again. I love footy. I love going to work. But I never had that because you get so much at a young age, so much money, you get the fame, you get everything that comes with it and you just don't know how to deal with it. Some people can and they deal with it very well, which probably 90% of the sportsmen that are out there or people that have good jobs, but the other 10%...
He might get it back. If he has a rest, on your advice, Fev, he might get that passion back.
Well, he might, but he might not. He might find something else that he loves.
Woodwork.
Woodwork.
All right. Tomek, you heard it first, mate. Take a break from the tour, play mixed netball up in Yarrawonga, and you will get the passion back, my friend.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
We had a great time at Bulla at the end of last week, and, I mean, look, lots of things happened up there. You probably heard that Byron and Fev got naked and they tobogganed. Again, I mean, this is on the back of Remember When You Were Both Naked in the Bath, to replicate the image of a dad and son in the bath in America. And then you did your nude run through the Botanic Gardens. You did the tan together.
All Fev's ideas.
I felt really awkward doing the run because I was getting chased by a big giraffe in the nude.
Yeah, well, look.
It's just like he was running after me.
I guess Melbourne is asking the question. I know it was brought up on AFL Game Day yesterday. Hamish McLaughlin even asked the question, why? Nobody really knows why. Yeah. But look, we've got incredible technology here on the radio show. And we've been working all weekend for this. It's been difficult. I know that you claim to get access to my brain from time to time, Fev's stomach. But unbelievably, we have a way of talking to the mountain itself, Mount Buller, about what happened over the weekend.
Connecting to Mount Buller. Connected. You can now speak with the mountain at Mount Buller.
Hello, mountain. Mount Buller, are you there?
I think I have PTSD, Fee. I can't unsee that.
I'm so sorry, Mount Buller. I mean, if I could have done anything to stop it, but are you okay? Are you thinking about what you saw?
Oh, no, sorry. That was an ice cream headache. It's pretty cold up here. As for the memory of them, brutal. Why did they do that?
I'll be honest with you, Mount Buller. We still don't know.
I mean, you see some things on the mountain, you know what I mean? 20-something grommets getting drunk, out-of-control kids taking people out in the skis, drunken hit squat teams trying to bash anything that moves, but this...
Oh, were there any...
No, it just vomited in my mouth. I don't know how that happened.
were there any other repercussions from them doing the nude toboggan?
Okay, it's repercussions. But other than that, other than probably a decade of counselling for anyone who saw it, I got to be honest, we burnt those toboggans. Especially Byron's. The fake tan just wouldn't come out of it. Looked like someone had had an accident, not in a nice way.
Okay. All right.
Look, I apologise for the boys doing that to you, or on you, sorry, that wasn't good.
Wait, what? Wait, they were boys?
Yeah, they're boys.
Guys, that cold must have really hit hard. Because where I was sitting, it certainly didn't look the way you could have used a lady's bathroom and no one would have protested.
Okay, thank you, Mount Buller there.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Hey, Dave, Byron. I am loving, absolutely, as you know, being a parent, and I love being a mum.
Obviously,
Trixie is the best thing that ever happened to me, love of my life. And I know that I sometimes create a rod for my own back because I'm not good at that. And she's sort of creeping out of toddler. Oh, Fev, thank you. Brought some chocolate supplies. just what I needed. It'll pick me up. So I'm not really good at the disciplinarian. That's not my strength, talking about Bernard Tomic and his strengths. I'm not a good disciplinarian. Not even good at myself because I'm looking at a Mars bar and I just want to eat it. You've gone through this. So, because Trix, she's four now and she's at three-year-old kinder during the day and she's come back and she's learning things. So I, last night, was very emphatic that it was a Sunday night and she was going to bed, sort of 7:30, that it's bedtime and she's doing that cute thing where she talks to me and wants to keep asking questions and talk.
Delaying.
Yes, absolutely, delaying it. So I sort of went, okay, that's it. You know, no more talking, time out, because I'm lying there with her trying to ease her into sleep. Mm. And she sat up on her knees, kneeled and said, I don't want to play with you ever again. Ever again.
Oh, wow.
So this is where my parenting maybe needs a little bit of critique, a bit of coaching. So I said, well, hang on, I get that you don't want to play with me now, but you can't say ever again. And she said, never want to play with you again, mummy. And then she just like lay down and turned her back to me.
Yeah, trying to reason with a four-year-old.
Yeah. Like,
there's the first issue.
No, don't worry. This happens. I've had that happen with the kids. I don't want to do this. I'm not speaking to you again. So you just play the silent card.
Oh.
I do what Trixie did, roll over and go, righto. Then they come back and they give you a cuddle and it's all good.
Oh, see, I was saying to her, darling, that's a gross overreaction. Like, come on, okay. I just said
I don't even have to train my brain to go back to their capacity, their level they're at, because I'm at that level. I play the kid card. I just shook up as well.
Well, I ended up saying to Trixie, come on, I'm fun. Mum, you don't know what I'm not
fun,
playing
mum.
With
okay.
me. How could you not play with me? I was playing Elsa and Anna all afternoon after Frozen. Like, I was riding. So, but it hurt me. Yeah. So she's fallen asleep. And then I'm like, ouch, that one hurt.
Well, Dave may have hit the nail on the head, but he said you're trying to reason with a four-year-old. Yes. And I think there's a maturity level issue there where you're treating Trixie like a complete equal. So you're having a conversation as an equal. You're not being versatile. You're not adapting to a four-year-old.
No, well, it was a very hurtful thing. It just hurt me. Because then I started to question why wouldn't you want to play with me again?
Lucky enough I've got Alex, who's the adult, and she has to sort us out. I get put to one corner, the kids go to the other.
You get a timeout from your wife?
All the time.
That's
why
life,
do
eh?
You act like a child? Why do you act like the kids? Because I am one.
Oh, wow.
13, 10, 60.
I feel so
hurtful
sorry for
things your kids have said. Like something that maybe it was when they were a toddler and it's just stuck with you. I mean, I am fun to play with. We were at the snow, guys. How much fun was I?
You're great fun.
You were heaps of fun.
I feel like you need to hear this
right
now.
You went to bed at 7 and Trixie and me and Byron were out at 9 o'clock playing with snowballs.
It's like your parenting skills are David Brent. It's unbelievable.
I'm not even joking. Remember when I said goodnight, guys, and I left, and then about 10 minutes later I came back for Trixie?
Yeah, because Trixie and I were still having dinner.
You're in the bobsled.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
You love your kids. You want them to love you. And then occasionally they say things that are just really hurtful. And even though they're kids and they bear no responsibility for those comments because they don't even really know what they're saying sometimes. Like last night when I was trying to get Trixie to sleep and I got a bit firm and she looked at me and said, I never want to play with you again. And it hurt.
Cut that actually hurt.
It cut so deep that I convinced her how fun I was for the next half hour and she got an extra half an hour up in bed. So
it worked.
She did well. Samantha in Epping.
You got beaten.
You got owned, Boxy. Okay.
She owns me. Sam, hello.
Hi. Hi.
Sam, what's your child said?
Oh, well, we were at the dinner table and I said to my son, oh, I'm really full. I think I ate too much. And my son goes, yeah, but Mum, that's every day.
Whoa.
Yeah, so your son, look, it was a hurtful comment, but he's also very observant. Like his observational skills are quite acute. So that's something you should maybe, you know, cherish, relish.
Could come in handy in later life for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Amy in Rosebud. Hi, Amy.
Hi.
Amy, you still sound pretty flat about what your child said to you. What was it?
A little bit heartbroken. He said my sister was a better mum than I was.
Oh, brutal.
How old's his sister?
She's 10 years older than me, but...
Your sister?
Yeah, my sister.
Oh, so his aunt.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, no, fun that aunt. One is. Mm. That's... Did you correct him on that, Amy? Did you convince him otherwise?
No, well, we were sitting around the dinner table and my eldest son said, oh, Mum, you're the best mum ever. And my six-year-old son said, nah, Auntie Kathy's better.
Ooh, six. What a roller coaster ride. You're wearing that badge of honour for about half a second.
And you've got one. Emily in Dandenong. Hi, Em.
Hi, how you going?
Yeah, good, Em. What was said to you that really hurt from one of your children?
Well, I cooked my daughter a delicious meal and she looked at it and then said to me, did you cook this on your butt? Because it tastes disgusting.
Thank you, George Colin Paris, for the review.
It's funny having a kid's mentality. And I know when I was a child, my mum and dad had split up. So you go to dad's every second weekend and mum was remarried. So every time you go to dad's, you'd always say my mum's husband's name was Greg. So, Greg did this. He's so much fun. So you just drop that to dad. So then when you come over to dad's house, he'd try to up him. So you just had the best of both worlds.
Oh, my parents were together. I was so jealous of you kids. Because they'd get two, you know, when they come back from a weekend and go, got a free pair of rollerblades because of guilt. And I was like, screw you people. I'd be like, dad, my parents are happy. They don't give me anything.
I'd be like, dad, Greg gave me $20. He gives you 50. I'm like, yes, I'm winning.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Fev, you were saying this morning when you came in, you did a lot of driving over the weekend. You've gone to Sydney. You've gone to Mount Buller. You're everywhere. You said... There are billboards for our show everywhere. You couldn't help but notice.
It's got to the point where I've got people saying, man, I can, everywhere. Mm. Too much.
What's funny, I thought, let's give it.
That's it, rip them down.
Yeah.
A bit overbearing.
Oh, it kills me, guys, all that notoriety.
And look,
I look like a big fat munchkin.
Okay,
I look like
apologies
what's his
for
name?
People who
you're pretty happy, Fev.
Now, there are people who think there are too much. I mean, we went 18 months without any, so now we've really gone and plastered the town with them. But let's have a little fun peek behind the curtains because not everyone knows the process that goes into marketing. Right. So we go and have a photo shoot and we all get our photos taken. And then just as a courtesy, the marketing team will say, guys, do you, you know, Fev, do you like this photo with you? Fev, you went, whatever.
I said, pick whatever. Because I look like me, and then they made me look like Tony Mockbell.
Yeah, they come to us and then...
You can see that guy sailing down the Mediterranean, can't you? Tony, who's a Tony? My name is Jorgal.
There are people driving on the tunnel right now laughing along as they see it.
Boxy, though, can I throw it back to you for a second? Yours, the photo that they chose for you is quite... hilarious because we only work in an audio medium. You can't see us. You can only listen to us, and you're telling us to shush. That's a mixed message.
But the funny thing is, I was taught everyone was doing wacky faces, and then I've ended up the only one who's done somewhat of a wacky face. But let's focus on Byron for a second, because we know in the studio here that Byron was not happy with the photo that they chose for him. So he was the only one who really kicked up a stink and said, I don't like the
original photo.
Well, no,
because we were told it would be... Well, we were told it would be more like a Brady Bunch style shoot. We're all looking in from different squares and looking up and down and across. And the one they chose, they said, this is the one we want to use for you. I looked like my eyeballs were popping out of my head. I was looking upwards and all he could see were the whites of my eyes. You couldn't even see the actual pupils of my eyes.
Okay, but the point is... It was horrendous. The only one who got a tiny bit diva-ish and said, I don't want that original photo.
You did.
If you saw a picture of yourself that looked remotely like mine, you would have had that pulled.
But it's backfired, Byron, because now in all, you know, there's two versions of this. There's the billboards on the big freeways and highways. Then there's the bus shelter billboards. You're just looking dreamily at Fev.
Which is not how I feel about Fev.
Well, you've been getting naked with me a lot.
That's what I was going to say, mate. Like you're in the facts are all there.
What I take away from our billboard is you're in love with Fev.
Well, all I did was look up that way on my own in a photo that I didn't know how it was going to be used.
And I'm in the other corner saying, shh, Byron, keep your feelings to yourself.
I'll give you a rundown. I'm just looking like Tony Mockbell there. Big, should have had a shave. I look horrendous. Big fat head. Byron's looking at me like he loves me. Dave's looking at Byron going, what are you doing looking at him? And Fifi's just saying to everyone, shut up.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
It's an interesting few days, Fev, if you think about the last few days. And I heard somebody comparing what's happened in the media over the past few days as sort of flashing back to the 90s, because we now know that Eddie Maguire is going to be back on the Footy Show from this week. Of course, he was, you know, it's the stalwart show of the footy season and he's back hosting it.
And Hutchie's been put back in the bin.
I know, poor
Hutchie. Used to hang out in front of my house in the bin trying to get a scoop.
So he and Sam, they're going to be there front and centre on the footy show. And then OJ Simpson's getting out of jail. I mean, serving 9 years of a 33-year sentence.
For stealing his own stuff.
It does have that sort of throwback feel to it, all of this, doesn't it?
It feels like a 90s revival.
It does a bit. Look, there seems to be a person on the line right now, and we're not even asking for callers at the moment, but someone is on the line as we speak.
Hello, Australia. It's Barry Bissell here.
Well, Barry Bissell from the Top 40. But Barry, great to hear you. One of my radio idols. Well, what are you doing ringing the show?
Not the first to say it. I was listening to your show on the airwaves and I heard 90s Revival and I thought, okay, cowabunga. Looks like Barry Bissell's off the pine. So if the Footy Show can turn back the clock, we can do it here at the Home of Hits, 101.9 Fox FM. Byron, drop the hook.
I'm not sure, Barry, if that's necessarily what we're after.
No, Fifi, just listen to this. Sorry to crash you. Sorry, we want clear radio here on the airwaves. But let's do a 90s eye for the 2000s show. So what I'm thinking, right, let's have a blue sky meeting. Bum bags. One of you guys have got to wear them, hey? Come on, they used to be cool. Now they're just for bodybuilders who need somewhere to store their roids. But let's bring them back, yeah?
Yeah, Barry, I'm not sure we can do that.
I don't think so.
Okay. Fair enough. Scratch that one off the list. I've got a couple more here in the chamber. How about we get some 90s bangers back on, okay? Some sweet tunes. Anyone heard of a little band called Ace of Base, okay? How about who's going to drive the Venga bus back? All right. And Ricky Martin, She Bangs, which we now know in hindsight is a fictional song because he never would have done the research on that one. But regardless...
Barry,
are you sure this is going to work?
Are you serious? It's the 90s. They were Ridgy Didge, babe. Look, how about you listen to The Secret Sound to win a new pair of rollerblades? Anyone up for that? How about some classic phoners? What's your naughtiest email? If your Hotmail has a 69 in it, you get a free can of Mallee Yellow.
All right, thank you.
We'll take it on board, Barry.
Oh, please do. Okay, in the meantime, let's see who can keep their Tamagotchis alive, guys.
That Fifi, Dave, Bev and Byron catch-up was delivered directly to your ears, valet style. Next time you fly, you can upgrade to valet parking as well for only $20 when you book online and park before 12 September in the at terminal T1, T2, T3 car park. melbourneairport.com.au